May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Cooking and hosting a party are not my strong suits. In fact, if you were to ask me what I'd like to make for dinner, the answer would normally be reservations. But from time to time, each of us encounters a very special occasion, a unique party, a most excellent feast. Such a feast is recorded in the movie Babette's Feast. How many of you have heard of it? Oh, good. I was afraid that that was of a different generation. It's a few years old. If you haven't seen it, I'd urge you to view it. In 19th century Denmark, two adult sisters live in an isolated village with their father. He's the honored elderly pastor of a small sectarian Protestant church. A French woman refugee named Babette arrives at their door and begs them to take her in because she is homeless. And in return, she commits herself to work for them as maid and housekeeper and cook. Sometime after their father dies, the sisters decide to hold a dinner to commemorate the 100th anniversary of his birth, an important time for the village. Babette has experienced unexpected good fortune in the form of an inheritance, and she begs the sisters to let her take charge of the preparation for this important meal. They're secretly concerned about what Babette, a Catholic and a foreigner, might do. But the sisters fearfully allow her to go ahead with her plans. Babette then prepares the feast of a lifetime for the members of that tiny church. She lovingly plans and executes the meal, lavishly importing French foods and materials from across the sea using her inheritance. People watch by the sidelines, wondering, what will this be like? We're used to plain food. But the feast itself becomes a life-changing event for the community as quarrelsome family members and dour Danish neighbors find themselves graced with new energy, renewed joy, and indeed with life itself. For sure, there can be something very healing about sharing a meal, especially if you don't have to cook it yourself. To break bread with someone, to share a meal with them, can mean lots of things, among them acceptance, hospitality, generosity. And meals were important in Jesus' time, too. The Gospels record that Jesus was often a guest of other people at their homes. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Matthew and Zacchaeus, Joanna and Susanna, and probably countless others, Jesus was a guest at table, upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, pleading the case of the poor at the tables of the wealthy. Jesus was their guest. And so we hear today from Jesus about two different but very important meals. And in each story, we are challenged to share in God's life-changing hospitality and to share it with those around us. First, Jesus advises those invited to a meal to voluntarily take the lowest place. He says this move helps avoid the embarrassment of being asked by the host to move down and make room for someone more important at the head of the table. However, there's a deeper meaning here. Our gracious presence in the banquet of life can and should be marked by humility and appreciation and gratitude. If that is the case, then we can be for others a graceful, faithfully interested presence who invites those around us to join us at a greater feast. Last summer, I am told, Ray Deepman brought a barbecue grill to our parish hall during Project Home. And for those of you who don't know Project Home, is when we invite those who are without a home to share our facilities during the month of August downstairs. One of the guests during that time asked to grill. And he grilled the whole time and he had a blast. And he related how he missed grilling at home because he was homeless. In this case, the guest became the host. Jesus' second story about just such a meal tells us who is invited and who is hosting. For at God's feast, the invited guests of honor are the poor, the lame, the blind, and the needy of this world. At God's feast, these needy folk aren't just invited to join in due to our generosity. Rather, these unexpected and sometimes, let's admit it, even unwanted guests are the ones who transform a shared meal into God's feast, making hospitality and compassion move to a new level. Like Babette in the movie, the uninvited and sometimes the ones we are most fearful of are the ones who find and create and share a place of grace. This evening, I think Ray will again be grilling, and those of us who want to are invited to come and bring something and become both host and guest at a table for us all, ultimately hosted by our God. But I have a further challenge for us today. Where else and to whom else do we need to show compassion today to help set their place at God's table? I don't know about you, but almost every time I picked up the paper or turned on the radio or TV recently, I hear something that disturbs my peace. Gas attacks, race-on-race violence, intergenerational misunderstanding and conflict. Where in the middle of our chaotic world do we begin to set God's table in these situations? The truth of God's compassion is that it is always stretching our boundaries, always and ever urging us to move beyond, to come along, to move a little further into compassion, a little further into caring. And sometimes that's difficult. I found myself this week angry more often than not, reading the paper and hearing about defenseless civilians, knowing that that's not the only violence that's happening in our world, but feeling very helpless to do anything about it. So what can we do? Is there someone near you today whom you've not met before? Or perhaps there's someone in your family, neighborhood, or workplace, someone you know very well, all too well, and from whom maybe you've drifted apart. Casually, ever so casually, why don't you take some time this week, just a moment, to go and encounter that person with kindness and compassion? I think we'd all be amazed if we understood how such a small portion of compassion can help set the table for our place and theirs at God's feast. When I first visited St. Matthew's last year, one of the things I appreciated about this faith community was that people here were friendly, but not too friendly. I think you know what I mean. You've visited churches before, especially the smaller ones, where they all pile on. A new person, a potential member. Would you like to usher? Would you like to sing in the choir? Or perhaps serve on the vestry? Well, that's all well and good. But the table setting which Jesus advocates in these two stories today creates a quieter space. Almost a space of solitude where people can be themselves, where we can live at our own pace, find our own place without pressure, but with grace. The great writer Henry Nouwen put it this way: somewhere we know that without a lonely place, our lives are in danger. Somewhere we know that without silence, words lose their meaning, that without listening, speaking no longer heals us, and that without distance, closeness cannot cure. Somewhere we know that without a lonely place, our actions quickly become empty gestures. The careful balance between silence and words, withdrawal and involvement, distance and closeness, solitude and community, that balance forms the basis of the Christian life and should therefore be the subject of our most personal attention. May this God, whose compassion creates a place at God's table for us all, each and every one, become our passion also. And may God use those who are strangers to give us a foretaste of God's heavenly banquet. In the name of the world maker, the pain taker, and the life giver, amen.